Hey, everybody, welcome. Happy New Year. It is 2020. Oh, I was going to do a 2020 vision joke and I stopped myself, but then I had to tell you why I paused. And so then I kind of said it. So that was anyway. Hey, I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you're ready for the new year. Apparently cord cutting companies were not. Today we're going to be talking about Fubo and Sling TV and how they've been hit by the new year and cord cutting. We're going to talk about cord cutting kind of in general, some of the pitfalls to it, some of the ways that it may cost more than what you pay for cable, but in some ways, why it's still even better. Even though you might pay more or you might get less channels or whatever, why it would still be a better deal in some cases. And then also, for a long time, I've been asking you guys for some questions, for emails and comments and stuff like that. So still no one's using the voicemail line. I guess nobody wants their voice to be heard that way. But I do have some emails and some comments left on videos and things like that that we will talk about. I will answer some of that stuff later on in the show. As you can tell, my voice is still a little shaky, still fighting cold a little bit. So I don't know how long we're going to go today. If my voice starts to cut out, we may cut the show a little bit early because I'm still fighting and trying to get that back. Probably won't do a show tomorrow, of course, because it's Friday. So maybe not Monday. I don't know. Monday's kind of up in the air, but Tuesday for sure. So anyway, just kind of keep an eye on the channel and you'll see the new show. And for those of you listening through Podbean or iTunes or on the Russian MP3 aggregate sites, whatever they may be, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. And I will try to describe things by voice and not have everything be visual. So today, cord cutting. For those of you who might use Sling or Fubo TV, you've now no doubt noticed that there are some problems with some of your channels. Basically, what has happened is the Disney 20th Century Fox merger, which split Fox into a company for a while that was just called New Fox. I don't know if it's still called New Fox or what the deal is. But that whole realignment, Fox itself got rid of their regional sports networks and they wanted to give them to Disney. But Disney didn't really want them. They didn't really fit into Disney's plans for things. So Disney ended up selling those to Sinclair Broadcasting. Now, Sinclair Broadcasting may not be a name familiar with everybody. I'm familiar with them just because they own TV stations here in my market. But they are a company that own small stations all over the country, your local NBC or ABC or Fox stations. And then what they do is they tend to run they got in trouble for this once because people thought it was some sort of weird conspiracy. But because they own all these networks, what they can do is use their coverage the same way a national network can have coverage. So if they've got an opinion on something or if they've got some sort of piece that they want every network to read out, they can send it out to all their networks and all the networks will air it or show it or read it. And then people thought it was like this global conspiracy to control the news. It was all just Sinclair using their network the same way a national network uses their broadcast power. But anyway, Sinclair got all these stations. So you had to cut a deal with Sinclair to get back those regional sports networks. And then, of course, FX and FXX and FX Movies and National Geographic and National Geographic Wild, all of those folded into Disney with ESPN and ABC and all of that stuff. And then Fox is Fox News and Fox Network and Fox TV Studios. I don't know. So anyway, and Fox Sports. Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. So, there's my dog being loud. Thanks, buddy. So, basically what happened is you had all this stuff kind of recombobulate itself, and it forced standing contracts with Sling to change the way that they had things set up, and it forced Fubo to have to renegotiate certain things, and it put them in a position where they couldn't afford especially at the price point that they're at, to continue to add the regional sports network. So if you're just someone who uses Sling, then you notice that you have a slight problem now, where some of the stuff that was on your Blue, which was your, you know, Fox set. I mean, basically, if you look at Sling was split into two, Blue and Orange, right? Your Blue is your Fox. Your Orange is actually your Disney, your ESPN, that kind of stuff. And so what it did is it forced some of this stuff is now under the control of the Orange. And then Blue, they decided to take Fox News out of the News Extra and put it into the regular because they needed the more Fox stuff to amp up the Blue side. And then you've got the Orange side that has some of the other stuff on it now. And it seems really weird and confusing right now. And some of that stuff may not, FX and FXX and FX movies may end up getting rebranded here at some point under the Disney moniker or something from their family. But regardless, that's all really confusing stuff. Okay, so what happened with Fubo is Fubo lost the rights to the regional networks because they couldn't afford to pay what Sinclair wanted for all those regional sports networks, which really sucks for Fubo because Fubo is built as a sports streaming service. Even though they don't have ESPN, ESPN by itself doesn't necessarily show a lot of sports as much as it talks about a lot of sports. A lot of that ESPN sports coverage is actually on the other ESPN things. You can watch through the website or on ESPN Plus, but then of course you have to have ESPN to get ESPN Plus. It's really a whole convoluted mess as far as all that stuff goes. But Fubo lost all of those, and it's the one of the big problems that Fubo really shows us. And the reason why I'm getting into all of this is not so much because I want to give you guys the history of everything, but I know some of you had questions about Sling and Fubo and cord cutting. But really, the problem shows that the problem with cord cutting and the way the companies are now starting to take control back from the people that were trying to cut out of the big cable packages. Okay, so for instance, we had Comcast, we had the bundle where they gave us home phone even though we didn't want it, but it was still cheaper with the bundle than getting them separately. So we had home phone and digital cable and internet. And it was cheaper to have the three than to just have internet and the cable TV. So we got all three, the triple play package, whatever. But we had all these channels. We didn't watch a lot of them. And the problem I had was when I left the house, I would want to watch some of that stuff, but you couldn't, right? You couldn't take it with you. You can log into some of the TV Anywhere apps. You know, some of the networks have their own apps that you can put on your phone and you can stream. Xfinity actually has their own streaming app that you could, you know, put on your phone or your tablet. But the problem is those wouldn't let you watch sports outside of your home network. And I'm, you know, a big fan of soccer, so I would go to work and I'd want to turn on the game and have it on in the background while I was doing other stuff, and it wouldn't let me watch it because I wasn't on my home network. They were locked. So what I ended up doing was I got Fubo early on. Now, Fubo early on, when they first started, they were like 15 channels or 12 channels for $15 a month. And it was a very soccer-focused package. And I'm not going to dwell too much on the fact that it's soccer. I know some of you are like, I don't care about soccer, but that's irrelevant. The point is it was a niche market product. So what it gave you were access to channels that gave you a lot of soccer from around the world, because of course in the United States it's not as big of a deal. But if you wanted to watch the top five leagues, if you wanted to watch England, France, Spain, Italy, England, oh, and Germany. Then if you wanted to watch those five, you really only needed two networks. You needed beIN Sports, and then the other one was, it's a channel that became 11 Sports Network later on, but I forget what it was before that. It really didn't become, it one folded. It was like America One Sports or something like that. I forget exactly. But anyway, that company folded and 11 Sports kind of took over its position. But anyway, through those channels, and then they also like got an Argentinian channel, a channel from Chile, channel from Brazil. So you could watch South American soccer, and some of them would even show, you know, soccer, Belgian Pro League and things like that. So you could watch a lot of soccer from around the world through this one package, and it was cheap. But then NBC saw how popular the Premier League was becoming, so they bought the rights to the Premier League. So now, if you wanted to watch that same content, you had to have an NBC package. So you needed NBC Sports, really, just to get those games. But then NBC would do these things every so often where they call it like a Super Saturday, and they would have soccer on CNBC and NBC and Bravo and Oxygen and Sci-Fi, and like all of their channels, all of their networks would show a game. You'd have like 10 games going on at one time across all the networks of NBC. So they needed some sort of package that would get those channels in, so that they could continue to show all of those games that they'd been doing before in a smaller package with just a handful of channels. Now they had to add these extra channels. Well, then Fox saw how much money that NBC was making off of the Premier League, so they picked up the German Bundesliga. So now, if you wanted to watch the German games, you had to have Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox Soccer Plus, which is its own standalone channel, then the Fox Network, and then the Fox Regional Networks would replay the games during the week. So if there were certain ones that they weren't able to show, you know, at the regular time live, then they would show them on delay on the regional networks throughout the week. And then NBC, of course, merged with Comcast. They picked up all the Comcast sports networks. All the Comcast sports networks became part of the NBC sports network. And so then the same type of thing, you had extra games that would appear here and there as well. So now, instead of just having this handful of channels, you had to grab all the Fox channels, all the NBC channels, and then the channels they had before. So once they started doing that, they realized suddenly they had this giant bundle and the price jumped. So suddenly it became like a $30, and then it was $35, and then it was $40, now it's $50, because, you know, now Turner and TNT, TBS, they jumped in and grabbed a bunch of the Champions League games and things like that. So now they had to add those channels in. So all the coverage that used to be in just a handful of these smaller channels, as this stuff got more popular, it became more difficult to get all of that into a package. And Fubo went from being this focused little company to trying to be a giant network. And of course, when you pick up the Turner channels and you want TNT and TBS, they make you take Turner Classic Movies and Cartoon Network and CNN and all of that other stuff as well. So it really is this huge bundling problem with the channels themselves. And I know for a long time they've said, well, we want just a la carte, right? And that was part of the deal that Sling was trying to do. Sling said, here, we've got two packages. You buy either like this Fox package or the Disney package, which was the CNN, ESPN, whatever, in orange, or the Fox stuff in the blue. And then, you know, there were some other channels mixed in here and there. But the idea was you could buy one of those base packages, and then you could buy a bundle of entertainment shows, some news shows, some travel, you know, whatever, add those channels in and build your own thing. And the problem, of course, has been that with these different networks changing hands and content being moved around, and certain channels going under and certain channels rebranding, and you know, all of these things have taken their toll on how you're able to follow along and get the information you want, get the material you want out of your bundle from your cord cutting provider. So on the one hand, nowadays, for me, if I want to watch the same soccer I was watching a couple years ago with just a handful of channels, I not only need the Fox stuff, I not only need the NBC stuff, I also need ESPN because ESPN picked up the rights to Italy in the Serie A. I still need beIN Sports because that gets me France and Spain. And then the stuff like the Jupiler Pro League, which is the Belgian Pro League, which used to be on 11 Sports, that's now part of Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report now has Champions League stuff that's also on the TNT and TBS stuff, so I have to have Bleacher Report along with those channels. Plus the NBC stuff, I need NBC Gold, Sports Gold, which gives me the Premier League, the extra games, the live games, and the additional content. Plus, for Fox, I need the Fox Sports, Fox Soccer Plus channel to get the extra games that are there. Plus, there's the Fox Soccer Match Pass, which gets you even more of the German Bundesliga, the League Two stuff, and a bunch of other stuff on there. Plus, I need to get ESPN Plus in order to get the extra Serie A stuff. And then if I want to try to watch MLS, I need to get all of that. And then, you know, ESPN decides to throw in stuff like, what do they have? Scotland. Let's see. Like, Scotland is Bleacher Report. ESPN added Australia and China. It's somewhere else. I don't know. So anyway, again, going back to what I was saying, it went from this handful of channels that just had this niche sport in the United States to being this, you need this big bundle of all these things. And it's going to keep fragmenting and dissolving and then reforming. And we're seeing it through things like Disney Plus. So now if you were a fan of, say, The Simpsons, and you want to get all that stuff, Disney Plus has all that stuff. All those channels are now under the Disney control. And so if you want to see that stuff, you have to have a provider that has made a deal with Disney instead of Fox for all of that stuff, which is a little weird and awkward, but nonetheless, there it is. And so Disney Plus, of course, has their original stuff that they want you to watch, Mandalorian and everything like that. Netflix, of course, has been doing their originals as they've been losing material. A lot of the stuff that they had that was exclusive is now either going to be exclusive to Peacock run by NBC, exclusive to Disney Plus, or a lot of it has gone to Amazon Prime. Prime has fought really hard to pick up a lot of that stuff. So yeah, it's really, and then CBS All Access has their stuff. Big Bang Theory, Big Bang Theory just got picked up. I forgot which. My mom was talking about this because she loves watching Big Bang Theory, but Big Bang Theory is moving to I forget which group it is, but it's gonna be locked behind the paywall of one of those groups also. So you may, if you want to keep watching the same stuff you've always watched, you're gonna have to pay more. And for some people, it may make sense to just stick with their cable. It's not going to make as much sense to get rid of cable and go to cord cutting because you might have to buy these different, you know, packages to get the stuff you want. Like, for instance, for me, my main two TV viewing apps that I go to, YouTube TV, which we have for the family, because it's got the stuff my wife wants to see. It's got stuff my kids want to see. But then I also have Sling for their world sports, so that I can watch cricket and I can still get BN Sports to watch some soccer from those places. And then every so often we kind of dabble with Philo and we get Philo to watch some shows, but you know, that's one we can turn off and on. You don't have to keep it all the time. But okay, so anyway, why would you want to cut the cord and get one of these things if you're not going to get all the shows that you would normally have? Why would that be attractive? Okay, how can you save money if you're going to do that? Well, one, how important is it to you to watch shows live? If it's super important to you to watch them live, then you're going to want to need a package. Now, my sister, she uses Hulu, and she's got the Hulu with live TV. I hate the user interface for Hulu and their live TV. I cannot stand it. It's one of those things, they sent me a free thing, so I tried it, and within a couple hours, I was done. Absolutely hate the way Hulu works. Hulu does the Netflix thing where it tries to get you to watch things that you don't want to watch. It's throwing stuff in front of you. Hey, you watched this episode of Frasier, so now here, watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I don't want Queer Eye. I like Frasier because I like Cheers. Completely different demographic. So, where you're going to go for your live stuff is going to make a difference as far as those programs. But if you're not concerned about live, then one of the great things about these different packages is with the video on demand, you can go in and say there's a couple shows on CBS you want to watch, but you don't want to pay for some live TV provider to get CBS. You can buy CBS All Access for a month, watch a whole bunch of stuff on demand, and then get rid of it. Pay the $7 or $11, I forget how much, I don't even know how much it is anymore, a month, watch it, and then don't use it anymore. That's something that's, you know, we've done that with Philo sometimes. I like to watch Moonshiners and Curse of Oak Island. Actually, Moonshiners is now on YouTube TV. They picked up that channel. But Curse of Oak Island is only available... it is available through Philo. It's not available through YouTube TV. So I'll grab Philo for 2 months, and I'll pay to get those channels, and I'll watch a bunch of that stuff. And then when I'm done, I turn it off. I don't pay for it. And I don't have to worry about, you know, the extra expense of having all of these channels forever that I'm not really watching. So that's a thing. But there are other small packages if you just want a handful of stuff. If you're looking, you can go to Friendly TV, get a handful of stuff. Again, Philo is a good one. If you know somebody in the military who's actively deployed, who's overseas, or you're a military family, you can get US TV Now, which has a handful of channels and stuff. You can get DVR. It's really good for all of that stuff. But the big thing is figuring out what's important for you to watch and then being able to take it with you. And that, to me, was the key. To me, it'd be worth, if I pay an extra $10 a month than I paid before, for my TV than I was paying with cable. But I have the ability to take my live TV and my DVR with me no matter where I go. I can go to a hotel room, hook up my Roku, and watch my shows. I can open up my laptop, I can watch my shows. I can go to my friend's house, log in through his TV, watch my shows. You know, no matter where you are, you can take your shows with you. I can watch on my phone while I'm sitting on a plane or on the bus or sitting at somebody else's house when I'm bored out of my mind. You know, last Christmas, I remember sitting over at my in-laws and I had my phone and I pulled up a game and I just kind of stuck it on a bookcase, you know, like right over here on the side. So I'm just kind of like, just watching out of the corner of my eye, looking over every so often, watching the games that I want to watch off of my phone, because I can just take it with me. And that's one of the beautiful things. Once you learn to appreciate that, I've been driven on the highway and watched soccer games, which is probably illegal somehow because it's a distraction. But nonetheless, being able to take it with you and having that DVR function, it's a huge, huge, huge deal. And adding something like the Sling World Sports, it's $10 a month, but if you buy a year at a time, it's only $5 a month. So you pay $60 for the whole year. And that's fine. Like, that's a price I'm willing to pay. Plus, I can get Major League Wrestling and things like that through it. So, cord cutting, depending on what's important to you, it may not be the savings you're looking for, but it's still probably a better experience than what you're getting through your cable TV. Plus, you can watch on multiple TVs without having to buy or rent the box from your cable company, right? So you can get a $35 Chromecast, a $29 Roku Express. If you want to pay more for an Apple TV or Fire TV Stick or whatever, you can do that and pull up these different things. Now, some people will argue, hey, you only get one stream or two streams or three streams. You may live in a house that has five TVs that people use, and then you leave the house and you want to watch TV and you're going to take away a stream from someone watching TV. You may say that that's not going to work very well for you. The difference here is, though, that you have the TV Anywhere apps. So, for instance, when I leave the house, if I want to watch say a soccer game that's on NBC, I can pull up the NBC Sports app, log in with my YouTube TV credentials, but still watch the game through the NBC Sports app. It will authorize me to watch the game using my YouTube TV credentials, but it doesn't count against the number of streams I'm using for YouTube TV. So essentially, what happens is there are certain days, Saturdays or Sundays, where there are a ton of games on ESPN, on Fox, on NBC, on beIN Sports. I will have a tablet on Fox I will have a tablet on Fox Sports 1. I will have a tablet on Fox Sports 2. I will have a tablet on NBC. I will have a tablet on NBC Sports. Tablet on NBC Sports Midwest. I will have a tablet on BN Sports. BN Sports 5. I'll have another one on ESPN's feed through whatever. One on Bleacher Report. I may be streaming 7 or 8 games at the same time using 3 streams through YouTube TV, 1 stream that I have through Sling World Sports, and using the TV Everywhere apps. So by using those apps, I'm getting extra screens. I'm getting extra feeds. And luckily, I have gigabit download, so I can support having all these different streams going on at the same time. And that's another key thing, is being able to use those apps to get extra streams, because you may be limited through what you're doing. And also video on demand. So if I log into certain apps, like the NBC or whatever, I can authorize by using my credentials through YouTube TV and then watch stuff on demand through their app, and I'm not using any sort of stream through my actual YouTube TV. So it does have its bonuses. And different, like I said, different companies will do them a little differently. Sling gives everybody 10 hours for free. Then you can buy an additional, I think it's 30 hours for $5 a month or whatever to expand the DVR. If you are on YouTube TV, it's unlimited recording, but the recordings only last for 9 months. They've gotten rid of all the fast-forwarding restrictions. So it used to be like CBS would block you from being able to watch your DVR if they have a video on demand with the ads on it. YouTube TV may cut whatever deal, wrote them a check, I don't know, did whatever in order to get past that now, so you don't have to worry about that. Hulu, I don't think Hulu has a DVR per se, but it can use your Hulu account to watch those on demand that you have as part of your Hulu library. So it kind of works a similar way. So there's a lot of options and a lot of things to look at. And the key thing is, what are the shows that you want to watch? Who has them? You're probably going to end up with a better experience than you're getting through cable, just because of all the amenities and the extra ways that they allow you to access your content, that you are able to really take it anywhere, as opposed to cable, which wants to lock you to the TV in front of you. Or if they allow you, Xfinity has their Stream app, but you have to be on your home network for some of the channels to stream live, which kind of defeats the purpose. They're going, hey, well, you can run it through your Chromecast and your TV upstairs without having to buy an extra box, and that's great, but that's not really what I'm looking for. I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to watch it on the highway while I'm driving, down the road. And so I can do that with my apps. So I still believe in cord cutting. It's getting trickier with the way these companies keep merging and molding and changing things. But nonetheless, I still think it's a viable thing. But I am a little hesitant to see where all this is going to go, because it looks like the companies are starting to fight back, in the sense that they want back the control they had over you, the viewer, that they've started to lose. And so we'll see how these subscription services continue to consolidate their power over your ability to watch things. So, all right, that's going to do it for that. But before we wrap up today, and I can feel my voice is starting to go, so it's just going to be a few more minutes, but I do want to go through some of the questions that you've sent, some of the mail that you guys have sent to me, because I did say I would read them and answer them, so I should probably read them and answer them, because that would be the good and honest thing to do. So, all right, let's see here. Okay, first up, this says, why don't you want people to like and subscribe, hit the bell, and support your Patreon, which you say you do not have? Why don't you have a Patreon? Okay. This one is pretty easy. When I talked last time, I talked about doing the show as this format, this talking to the camera format, this more, what I called a more authentic format, as opposed to the prepackaged videos I had been doing for a long time. The reason for that is I don't want this to feel like a job. For a long time, all of us here at Pop Culture Network, back when we were, before we were Pop Culture Network, when we were just the video game loser, VGLosers.com and ThatNewToySmell.com, we really looked at this as like a second job. We put in hours and hours every week. I even had some guy comment on here. He's like, I can't believe that you have so few views. You have all these subscribers, but so few views. Why is that? And part of that is because the YouTube algorithm is really set to push channels that push out a lot of content. So if I were to do 30 small, 10-minute videos a day and throw them out there instead of doing, one longer show a day, then the algorithm would push my videos in front of a lot more people. I'm not really worried about that because this for me is an outlet. This just gives me the ability to talk to you guys, to get feedback from you, to kind of see what's going on, to talk about some of these different things that are happening. And I see a lot of confusion out there, and I see people with questions, again, with like cord cutting or COPA or comic book industry, stuff that's happening there. And so I find that this is a good way to kind of grab some of these people that have these questions and just, here's the answer, and you'll find it. It's archived. People can come back and watch the shows and find the stuff that they want to watch. And that, to me, I appreciate that more than trying to put together this slick, package-produced thing that becomes like a job. Because when it becomes a job, then it becomes... You see a lot of people who have these YouTube channels and they give you like 30 seconds introduction and then suddenly they're like, oh, make sure you like, share, subscribe, support my Patreon, whatever, whatever. And it's like, I haven't even watched your content yet. I don't even know if I like your content. Like, I don't want to give money to your Patreon because I don't even know if I like you yet. And you're already asking me to support it because you see this as your full-time job. There are a few channels that I do support. And there are channels that I don't. There are channels that if they have advertising, sometimes I will click on the advertising because I know it's going to help them out. Sometimes I don't. That's just how it is. I don't want this to become the type of thing. If I do something like a Patreon, then I have to make sure that I'm going to give you something extra for the money that you're paying. Because that's what Patreon has become, right? It's like a fan club type thing. You're not, when you support someone's Patreon, you're not just supporting their channel, but they're also trying to build a community. They have Discord servers. They're printing up stickers. They're, whatever. They're going to put your name in the credits on the video. Things like that. Things that go kind of above and beyond. And to me, that feels too much like I'm asking you to pay money out of your pocket for the continued production of whatever materials I'm doing. And that to me just doesn't seem right. My support is you watching the video, right? My support is you watching the video and leaving a comment or watching the video, sending me an email, sending me a tweet, whatever. That to me is more important than me trying to make extra cash, full-time cash. Now, I got to be careful here because, yes, I do have advertising on the channel. We have AdSense. We have AdSense on the Pop Culture Network channel. We have AdSense on the Podbean channel. If you come to popculturenetwork.com, yes, there's Google Ads, AdSense on there. But those pay for the stuff that we have to pay for in order to host and continue to archive the content. So, for instance, all the money that comes from the Pop Culture Network channel goes to pay for the Pop Culture Network server and for some of the domain names. All the money that I get through AdSense ads, the revenue on here or anything off of Podbean, all of that goes back into paying for the Podbean and some of the URLs. And Podbean, we pay like $100 a year for Podbean, for it to archive all the old shows, to make them available, to spread them to the different channels, the different outlets, put them on YouTube, and to keep a copy of them so that they're always archived. You can go back 11 years and find the old podcast that we did. They're still there because we pay money for them to continue to be hosted and archived. So the advertising that I have is just to pay for the things that we're using. Every time we add a new URL, like I add thepopc.net instead of just popculturenetwork.com, because it's easier to type thepopc.net than popculturenetwork.com, that costs money. And so I'm willing to pay that money in order to get that name to make it easier to get to the website, because I've made some advertising money off of these ads. I don't use that money to pay my electric bill. I don't use that money to pay for me to go to Comic-Con. I don't use that money buy my kids' presents, anything like that. All of that is going to just, you know, keep the website going, keep the podcast going, to make it a place where people can come up and say, hey, we want to do a podcast. You know, Fans of Power, they're starting to, you know, branch out on their own more. Beyond Retro has pretty much become their own thing now. And that's fine. You know, if they came to us for a while and they used us as a way to build themselves up, we had some content, we nurtured that. Now they're starting to branch out on their own, do their own thing. That's fine. Like, I have no ill will towards anybody for doing that. And I would love to help more people do that. More people, if I can help more people find their voice and do those types of things. You know, Corticon came to me, wanted to do Formers Friday. So I said yes. And then he got kind of tired of it. And Mr. TF Prime asked if he could do it. And I said, that's fine. He did it for a while. Then the Geek asked if he could do it. And I let him do it for a while. I did it for a while to keep it alive and to go through some of the toys I had sitting around. So if someone has an idea and they want to do it, I want to help them to do it, just because it makes everything else better. It just makes it that much better for YouTube, for podcasts, for everything. The more voices and the more stories and the more things there are out there, I'm not necessarily doing it to help me. I'm not necessarily doing it, you know, I'm not rolling in dough. I'm not buying a car. I'm not, you know, buying an apartment avenue on Vine Street for all my Vine friends, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All of it is just to help promote more voices, help get more people that they feel like there's something they want to say, but they don't know where to go or how to say it. I like doing that type of stuff. I like incubating those things with popculturenetwork.com. So again, yeah, if you're out there and you've got an idea for something, whatever, I'm willing to listen. You know, do some samples and let me know. And a lot of the stuff that we do, it's just to go back into just keeping things running and keeping it going. I'm not trying to be the number one guy on YouTube. I'm not trying to have the number one podcast on iTunes. You know, I'm not chasing that dream. This for me is a hobby, which I enjoy doing. So as long as I enjoy it, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not asking you to click like on it. I mean, if you like it, I want to know you like it. You know, I mean, that's the likes mean more for me to know that you guys like the content, as opposed to you put a like on it, so the YouTube algorithm is going to put it in front of somebody else. I'm not asking you to subscribe and hit the bell because I need you to keep watching to hit that ad revenue so I can, you know, keep loading up all that money. It's not about doing any of that. It's just about trying to keep the ball rolling and continue to make opportunities for other people that want to come in and do stuff. And YouTube as a whole, it's gotten a lot more commercial, if you haven't noticed. In the last few years, a lot of TV networks and a lot of content makers are making a lot more for YouTube as an outlet, as a TV network. And it makes it a lot harder for the smaller channels to be seen and a lot harder for the smaller voices to be heard. So I like to be here. If someone wants to collaborate on something, you know, great, we'll do it. If someone wants to work on something, if they want to try something, you know, we tried the wrestling podcast, the Transitional Champion podcast, and it was okay, and it worked for a while. It became more of a chore, though, as wrestling became more terrible in the WWE-only era. So it ended up being something that just kind of went away after a while. But again, I'm not trying to make $1 million and be the number one guy on YouTube. And that's why I tell people not to worry about it. If you're watching it on your TV, it's hard sometimes to get down to the dots and to flip over and to hit that thumbs up before the video ends, before you think about it, because it's wrapping up and you're like, oh, right, I want to go, you know, like that, whatever. And I'm not concerned with that stuff as much. you know? So I'm not worried about the algorithm going out and forcing my stuff in front of other people's eyes. I'm worried more about people just being able to find people that are like-minded, they're interested in the same kind of stuff, they want to know what's going on, and they're going to find it. So I'm more interested in that stuff. And so that's where I'm at doing a lot of that same type of stuff, which I realized in the middle of doing that conversation that I kind of jumped into the next email here, which was what happened to the Transitional Champion podcast. And that was WWE really killed us with such a horrible product last year. We discussed maybe coming back, but the TV landscape has changed so much that I don't tend to watch anything live other than soccer on Saturday mornings and Sunday. Saturdays and Sundays, when most of the soccer games are on, I watch those live. Those tend to be the only things I watch live. Everything else I watch on delay, just when it's convenient for me. And as far as wrestling content goes, because I like to watch Impact, I like to watch Major League Wrestling, I like to watch ROH, I like to watch AEW Dynamite, I tend to, when I have an evening that's free to myself, or everyone else goes to bed and I've got a couple hours before I'm going to go to sleep, then I sit down and I watch 2 or 3 hours of one of those shows. So I'll watch a bunch of Major League Wrestling in a row, or I'll watch a bunch of AEW in a row, and I'll kind of catch up with it, so to speak. I watch almost no TV live like that. So it makes it tough to do a podcast where we're talking about it every week, because what I'm going to be talking about is stuff that happened 3 weeks ago. So that it just kind of fell apart as far as that goes. And also because wrestling was so lousy for a long time, it just made it really tough. And some of the excitement did go away because the product was so bad. And I might watch the Royal Rumble just because it's the Royal Rumble, and I usually like that match generally speaking, but it may end up being one of those things that I just wait a day or two and watch, you know, through some other means. Because again, I'm not really that worried about watching everything live anymore. So I don't know. We'll just have to. Some of that stuff I want to watch just for the sake of, like, I like professional wrestling. It's just that I've been really put back by how terrible so much of it has been the last few years. So you do with that what you will. All right. How come you don't do toy reviews anymore? What happened to all the toy review videos? Okay. So that goes kind of back to the same thing I was talking about before. Doing all those prepackaged videos, it takes a lot of time. It becomes like a job. You end up buying toys that you don't necessarily want in order to be able to do reviews of them, or things that you're not that interested in. You're kind of interested in, and you kind of feel like, well, I did the last thing in this line, so maybe I should do this thing in the line. And so you start, you know, doing that kind of stuff. And I just really got to that point where I had a bunch of stuff building up around the house. Stuff that I had bought that I had never done anything with, and stuff that I had bought, I had done a video on, and then never touched it again. And it just sat there. And so I ended up selling off a whole bunch of that stuff. I still have a lot of toys, and my wife still hates, and I've thought about maybe doing something where, you know, I do like Tron Tuesdays. I have a whole bunch of Tron stuff that's toys and old VHS copies and film cells and, you know, weird things. And like, so maybe I grab one thing every week and kind of talk about it on a Tuesday, you know, throw it in there or something like that. And if I have something that's really cool, I'll pull it out and talk about it. Like I've done on here with the Soundwave or the Jason figure or whatever. But again, doing those prepackaged videos, they take a lot of time. It becomes like a job, and you really feel like the way YouTube has become, you have to either go all in saying, I'm going to spend all this time making this content so that people will come back. And you have to get this return on investment for what you're spending to, you know, get enough ads to pay for what it is that you've bought and whatever. And I just, it's just not worth it. part of that is the Adpocalypse stuff that's kind of, you know, come in and hurt a lot of smaller channels. But not so much that as much as it's just I got tired of trying to chase that dragon. You know, I've seen so many toy reviewers that they gave up everything and they tried to be like the number one toy guy on all of YouTube. And they were trying to be the number one authority on everything. And they were trying to get their hands on everything and interview everybody and have everything, you know, ready to go. And it's too much work for one person and you need extra people. But the whole reason why they try to build up their channel and build up what they're doing is because they want themselves to be the star, but it's too much work just for them. So you need other people to help you out, but you don't want them getting any of the attention. And these people just, they burn out. They stab friends in the back. They do all this kind of stuff. And I just don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be a part of that, so to speak. So if I get something particularly cool that I want to talk about, I like I've done on this show, I'll bring it up and do it. But I don't want to make that, I don't want to go back to doing that as my thing where I have to make these tightly packaged videos. Now, having said that, someone did send me a laptop. I did an Evu laptop review last year and it's got a ton of traffic and people want me to do more hot garbage cheap laptops. So I do have a Chewy Hero Book sitting downstairs. I've messed with it a little bit. Haven't done a whole lot. I may end up doing another video on that just because I kind of like playing around with those things for right now and seeing what they're capable of. But as far as doing those as an ongoing, like as a weekly thing, probably not anything like that. At least not like I was before. With the way that major networks and content providers have taken over YouTube, it just really doesn't make a lot of sense. And most people, they're chasing some sort of dream that's just really not going to happen anymore. Especially in this day and age with YouTube and COPPA and the Adpocalypse and everything else that's going on. So there's that. Let's see. I see you don't talk as much about video games anymore. Are you not playing games? I still play a lot of games. So here's the thing. I fell into 7 Days to Die. 7 Days to Die is my favorite video game now. Deadly Dissatron will always be like my all-time favorite game. But 7 Days to Die is pretty much all I play anymore. I have a bunch of games on Steam that I've purchased. Games like Instinct Survival, games like Outcast, Lost Colony. I don't know, like all kinds of other types of survival games and whatever. And I don't play any of them. Some of them I've installed, but I've never even booted up once, because most of the time when I'm playing this type of stuff, I just want to play 7 Days to Die. Like I just like that game so much. So it's hard for me to play a lot of other games. Now I do play classic stuff, arcade stuff. I do have an arcade machine downstairs. I've got machines hooked up to that. I've got my NES Mini, my Super Nintendo Mini, Genesis Mini, like all of that type of stuff are plugged into it. And I do sit and I play that kind of stuff sometimes. But none of that's hooked up for streaming or doing videos on that kind of stuff. I just don't, I like gaming, but I'm not into the culture of gaming like I used to. Part of that was the whole Gamergate thing, because Gamergate started as something very important. It got sidetracked by people. There were people who were saying and doing bad things. They took all of the attention. It became all about them and the stuff they were doing, and the real problems that Gamergate was trying to point out ended up getting ignored because of these people over here making all this noise. Similar thing with ComicsGate and the stuff that happened there, which is part of the reason why I've gotten out of the culture of comics, even though I still like to read a lot of comics. I've gotten away from a lot of that stuff because so much of the new stuff and so much of the attention goes to things I don't care about or things that just make me angry to think about how much attention that they're getting compared to actual games or things that actually matter. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll do more, you know, just plays. Play It Loud, I think is what we called it here, where I just sit and play and we stream, you know, the playing, that type of stuff, and talk while we're playing, whatever. But yeah, it's just not it's not the type of thing it once was for me because of all of the toxic stuff that comes from the people that claim that they're not toxic and they're trying to get out the toxic fan base, and it gets worse and worse and worse all the time. So I don't even want to... Let's move on. All right. One more, and then I'm probably going to have to go. What happened? Okay, so what happened to Ryan Porter? I don't know. He left. He started doing his own thing. He did comic reviews for us a long time ago, and then he left, tried to start his own thing. Once he left, I really didn't follow. He was one of those... There were some people that didn't leave on the best of terms. And so when he left, smooth sailing, see you around, enjoy yourself, but I didn't follow what happened to him afterwards. So I have no idea. Honestly, I don't. What happened to Brian Ozone and Masters of the Galaxy? Same type of thing. Although he left on good terms. I have no problems with Brian Ozone. Brian Ozone, he didn't get along necessarily with the other guys he was doing Fans of Power with. So he left. So he started Masters of the Galaxy. He wanted to do it on his own. Like, he started with us, worked with us for a while. Then he wanted to push for his own thing, work with his Facebook page and Masters of the Galaxy. You can still find it on Facebook if you want to go track it down. He was doing stuff through there, live streaming on Facebook and that kind of stuff. And again, more power to him. No hard feelings, whatever. But he left and just did that stuff on his own. I feel bad because I don't watch a lot of other people's podcasts or shows. There's so much stuff that I want to watch just with soccer, and the few TV shows that I like to watch, that I don't listen to podcasts or watch a lot of other things. Sometimes I watch, highlight clips and whatever, but for the most part, I don't watch a whole lot of other things, that other content creators are making, just because I also don't want to end up one of those people. Like, I used to like H3, but they got too into, this is what this person's doing on Twitch, and this is the fight they started with this person on YouTube, and here's the story of their fight, and it gets too much into all of that, and I don't really care about that as much as the stuff that's going on in the world. Certain channels like The Right Opinion has some good videos, now and again, but at the same time, some of them are pretty terrible, but they get a little too much into these wars between PewDiePie and, whoever. And it's, I don't, every so often they do something that's kind of interesting I like to see. But for the most part, I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff. And I try to stay away from the real inflammatory stuff. Jim Sterling, I talked about him on the show before. I watch some of his stuff from time to time, but sometimes when he gets really upset and into something, he dives deep and he really... He wants you to grab the pitchforks and to start, burning things down. And I'm trying to stay away from that type of negativity on things. So I try to keep away from some of that stuff. So a lot of those guys, that do things, I appreciate what they do. And again, I'm glad their voice is out there and it makes things better. But for what they're doing specifically, I don't necessarily want to watch everything that they're doing or listen to everything that they're saying. But as certain things distill out of it, then I think we get some good conversations from some of the other things that come out of those. So there's that. I think I danced around that pretty well. That's going to do it for now. Don't forget, if you want to send more questions, things like this, or comments, if you just want to, tell me, whatever's going on, stuff that you think is important to talk about or whatever, you can send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com or dirt@thepopc.net. You can find me on Twitter @PCN_dirt, although I don't go on Twitter very often because it is pretty toxic and terrible and I just try to stay away. You can find me, I'm on VK and WeMe and whatever, but I haven't been on any of those in a long time, so don't even bother. Those are dead. Those are not a thing anymore. Or you can call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call, leave a voicemail message, and we can hear it, and we'll get back to you. So again, if you have something, if you have an idea that you'd like to incubate, You want to see if maybe you can put something together, let me know. We can try to work something out. If there's something specific you want to talk about, you can let me know, and I'll see if I can research into it, talk about it a little bit. But otherwise, that's going to do it for me. Thanks for watching. I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to hit that bell. I'm not going to ask you to follow my Patreon, which I don't even have. All I want you to is remember this one thing.
You're watching the best-looking guy on the internet.